My Father, I pray, God, now for Brother John. I pray, God, help him. And Lord, I pray, God, meet the needs for him. And Lord, there's so many needs, Lord. There's so many. It's beyond our comprehension of the needs. This is, Lord, as Christians trying to serve you. And my Father, I pray, God, you'd help each and every one of them. Lord, but I pray, Brother John, right now, that you'd help him and take a blessing from us and give it to him. And Lord, use him. I know you have. And I know what he's saying is the truth about having joy and edifying people. I know he's always done it. And I pray, God, help him now. Encourage him. And Father, give him fruit for his labor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Chronicles just for a few minutes. Or 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry. I was reading through here today. And God wouldn't let David build a house for him. They had a tabernacle that Moses set up, and they carried that tabernacle. It carried, you know, the Levites would take it down, put it back up, take it down, put it back up. And the Lord takes a lot of time in Exodus and Numbers and about the dedicated things that were dedicated to it. And David said, after he got his house, he was sitting in his house, he's thinking, man, we need to build a house for God. And the Lord tells Nathan the prophet, says, you go tell him that, have I asked for a place to live? He said, you know, and the Bible says the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. But he said, I want to build God a place where we can be a permanent place, a permanent tabernacle, a permanent is called the temple. I told you about a couple of weeks ago that the temple, they're wanting to rebuild the temple now. When we was over there, we seen all the temple institute, all the equipment, they're ready to go. And this is the first temple that was dedicated, and the Bible talks about they brought in all the spoil into the temple and all the, you know, that they had gathered and dedicated. Joab dedicated stuff, David dedicated stuff, I mean, Benaniah, a whole bunch of different soldiers dedicated things to the temple and to the work of God, and the things were dedicated. And God takes a lot of time into explaining all the stuff. And when you read it, it's kind of boring. And a lot of things you read, you go, man, you know, man, look at all this stuff. Look at chapter 4. I'll give you an example here. Thus Solomon made all these vessels in great abundance, verse 18, for the weight of the brass could not be found out. And Solomon made all the vessels that were in for the house of God. Of gold also, altar also, and the tables thereon, and the showbread was yes set. Moreover, the candlesticks with their lamps, and they shall burn after the manner of before the oracle of the pure oil, pure gold, and the flowers and the lamps and the tongs, and made he of gold, and that of perfect gold, and so and the snuffers and the basins and the spoons and the censers of pure gold, and the entry of the house. But he goes through all this stuff that God told him, every detail, every chapter you go through, it was important. It was very important, the way it was made, the way it was dedicated, everything. Everything was very important. And then chapter 5, the temple is getting dedicated. And that's the first temple. Now, the first temple ends up being destroyed. Before you get out of 2 Chronicles, the temple is destroyed. And God said, I'll be a place for me to habitate with man, and if you'll just do right and all that, and you just honor me. And then, you know, the next couple chapters, Rehoboam splits with Solomon. Jeroboam splits with Rehoboam, and Rehoboam goes into Dan, goes up there and builds him a calf, and a golden calf. That's the same thing the children of Israel, they did in what Aaron made when they came out of Egypt. They made a calf. Why a calf? I mean, that thing was a type of the devil, and what they did. It was a type of the devil, and we went into Dan when we went to Israel, and we seen where the golden calf. I mean, it's not there now, but it was where it stood and where the king sat. There was a seat there where the king sat. They uncovered it. And Brother Glenn Stocker said, "Why don't you sit in the king's seat?" I said, "I ain't sitting in that thing. I wouldn't sit in that thing." I said, "No way I'm going to sit in that thing. It might be a curse go along with that thing. I ain't sitting in it." And we walked up through Dan and saw that. And the children, 10 tribes, the northern tribes, they go into apostasy a lot faster than the southern tribe. They went into apostasy. They just, I mean, right off from the get-go, they go into apostasy. And at least Judah stayed. You read about Israel, how they did that, which is Ahab. Ahab was from the northern tribe of Samaria. And then you read about Judah, you know, they would get right, and then they would backslide, and they would get right. And then the Lord ends up destroying the temple and says, I'm just going to do away with it. And then the thing gets rebuilt in Nehemiah's day. And they're in captivity. God said, I'm going to take you out of here for 70 years, according to Jeremiah. I'll take you out of here for 70 years, take you to Babylon, and then I'll let you come back and rebuild it. But he doesn't give them back the full control of the land. He doesn't give them back. When they lost it, they didn't get back. They haven't got it back yet. They haven't got full control of the land back yet, what belongs to them. And right here, they had full control of the land, the temple, everything. The Bible says God gave Solomon peace on every side. And David, he said, David, you can't build the house, my house, because you're a man of war and you shed a lot of blood. And you read some of them wars, and David went into battle. And I mean, there were thousands of people that died. And David was a warrior. You're talking about fighting. This guy was, I mean, fighting. And he didn't slew just one or two. It was thousands that David fought and slew. And David was slinging that sword, and my, he was going at it. He was going, and they were the enemies of God. And they hated Israel. They hated God. But here, look what Solomon, and I want you to see this, and I want you to look at this thing, because in the New Testament, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If God destroyed the temple in 2 Chronicles, he destroys it, and before it ends, he destroys the temple. He said, that thing makes me sick. And then when Nehemiah rebuilds it, the Bible says those that were there that seen the former temple, they wept and cried. But they knew they weren't going to get back like it was. And they never have got it back yet. And then Rome comes in and destroys the thing. They're looking to rebuild that third one now. And it's coming. It's coming. But see, they rejected their Messiah, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But I want you to think about this now. New Testament, your body is that temple. The Bible says your body. And look what they did with the dedication of this temple. And I want to ask you a question about it when we finish reading it. It says, thus all the work of Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things which David his father had dedicated, the silver and the gold and all the instruments, put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Zion, we sing, you know, there waits for me a glad tomorrow, Zion's hill. Zion is on the, I think on the, if you're looking from Mount of Olives, Zion is on the left side of Jerusalem, that city of David, and then Jerusalem. So they're bringing up, and this time Solomon, he's bringing it up right. David, the first time he did it, he tried to do it like the Philistines did it. And that's why God killed Uzzah. He killed Uzzah. And he killed Uzzah because he put his hand to the Ark of the Covenant. And what, you know, something else amazes me is that when you read your Bible and Samuel, the Bible says that Saul never inquired at the Ark of the Covenant. Never went to God and said, what should I do? He never went there. He was afraid of God. And you ought to have a good, healthy fear of God. I'll tell you this. You find a person that has a healthy fear of God and has a love of God, you'll find a person that stay right with God. If you got a healthy fear that, and you say, what should I pray? I pray this for me, my family. God, put the fear of God in us. Put the fear of God in me and give me a tender heart towards you. That's a good thing to pray. That's a good thing to pray for your kids. David had a healthy fear of God, and he had a love for God. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. He loved God. He feared God, though. He feared him. And David finally went back, and he went, why did God do that? And, you know, why did God kill Uzzah? And he said, why did God do that? And then the Levites came in, the priests came in and said, you know why? We did it wrong. We did it wrong. We carried the Ark of the Covenant wrong. The Levite's supposed to carry it. So then Solomon does it right, And Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, verse 2, and all the heads of the tribes and chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant out of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. You know what David did? David separated the Ark of the Covenant from the tabernacle. The tabernacle was in, I think, Bethel, and David brought the Ark of the Covenant close to him. He wanted that thing close. He wanted God close as he could get. He wanted God close to him. And even though he feared God, he wanted God close to him. You know, I find a lot of Christians, they fear God and they stay away from him. David wanted the Ark of the Covenant close. Wherefore, all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast. And the feast, which was in the seventh month, notice the seventh month, and all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. And they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation, and they brought the tabernacle up too. They brought the whole assembly. And it says, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, these did the priests and the Levites bring up. And the King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled on him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told, not numbered, for multitude. It says, and the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord onto his place, and to the oracles of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark, and the staves thereof above. And it says, and they drew out the staves of the ark, and the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. They didn't have it out in the holy place. They had it right in there in the Holy of Holies. And there it is to this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables, which Moses put therein at Horeb, and when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And it doesn't mention the manna. Doesn't mention that at all. And it came to pass, when the priests were come up out of the holy place, all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. And the Levites, which were of the singers, notice that. Man, David has some singers, man. I believe singing can have the touch of God on it. It should have the touch of God. Singing, when you sing to God, it should have a touch on it. It should be a worship service in your heart. And the Bible says in the Levites, that's where a lot of Christians miss it. They've got everything right, but when it comes to singing to God from the heart, they don't have that. There's no touch of God on them in that. And it says, also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asa, of Heman, it says of Jephim, and their sons and their brethren being arrayed in white linen. These guys are standing out there, man, and with cymbals and psaltery. And it says, harps stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. You're talking about loud goings on. Now, have you seen the outer court, and you've seen the temple up there and all that stuff, and they're standing on that east end there, man, they're singing, and the harps are blowing, and the cymbals and everything. You're talking about, that's a big old orchestra, and they're singing to the top of their lungs. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in the praising and thanking of the Lord, when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and the praise of the Lord, saying, for he is good, and for his mercy endureth forever. Then it says that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Now look what it says, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord was filled the house of God. Man, I tell you what, I read that, I go, whoo, I would love to be there. I would love to see that. I would love to be there and amongst them priests and them Levites, and they're singing, and they got their white sheets on. It's almost like, it sounds like what's going on in heaven when at the throne of God. And they're singing praises, and God gets excited. And God gets so excited that the cloud comes over the place. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, when they came out, God led them with a cloud by day and fire by night. And that cloud filled the place up, and they said they couldn't minister no more. They couldn't do it. They couldn't, we said, what did they do? I think they just fell on their faces and started worshiping. I don't know about you. I don't know if you ever had a time like that. If you've never had a time like that, you ought to have a time like that. And then we talk about the services getting high. I mean, we're getting high. It's just not all about running. It's not all about shouting. It's not all about, it's just God coming in, filling you up. God getting a hold of you, man, the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit, where the cloud of God comes inside you. And all you could do is weep and cry and thank him. And man, fall on your face and say, God, why are you so good to me? Woo, God. I don't know if you ever had a time like that. But I'll tell you about it. It's about time. It's about time you have a time. You don't have to have it in church. Some people like to come to church and do it. You don't have to have it in church. You can have it out there by yourself somewhere. But I'll tell you what, it makes it a lot better when you got a bunch of people having time with the Lord out there by themselves and all come together. You can't help that cloud's going to show up. You know, we were down in Pensacola a couple times, and even at Tabernacle, we used to say, man, it got awful foggy in there, boy. It got awful foggy in there. God started moving around in there. It got awful foggy. It ought to get foggy every once in a while in our lives. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Now, take your Bible, look over, look at this. It says, it talks about the temple. It talks about the tabernacle. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I tell you what, I like it when the Lord shows up. Especially, man, it gets so full. I get so full. That's why the Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit. You say, what is filled with the Spirit? Being filled with the Spirit is you getting out of the way and letting God have more of you. See, this dedication here that they were doing, they were dedicating a building. They were dedicating a place where God dwells. And God's supposed to dwell within us. If he's dwelling, and the Bible says they were singing, they were blowing the trumpets, they were shouting, and I mean, they were praying, there was dedication going on. I mean, they were just on. It was just on. I can imagine some of them old timers that saw the first temple, they probably said, man, you should have seen, if they were old enough, if you should have seen when God showed up that time. We haven't seen God show up like that. We haven't seen God do anything like that before. And man, we haven't seen it since. It's a shame that some churches, they have the glory. Now, Brother Gray's church, he said that was started in 1800s. Started in 1800s. Wow. And I listened to some people testify. They had one lady in the church that was 60, had been there, a member of the church 60 years. And she stood up and she said, this has been the best time of our church of my whole life that I've been alive. It's been the best time of this church. And the church was started. Now, nobody was there in the 1800s. Nobody knows what it was like then. But man, I tell you what, I like for the cloud to fall every once in a while. Where, brother, I'll tell you what, you know, we have preaching. Why you have preaching is because, you know, we need preaching to edify one another, or get sin out of our, preach on sin and stuff like that. But wouldn't it be something if the cloud of God got so thick in there, man, people would just crawl into the altar. You wouldn't have to preach. You wouldn't have to say nothing. People would be wailing, saying, God, help me. God, you know, they talk about them old days when, who was it that preached that he just read his sermon? Who was it? Jonathan Edwards just read his sermon. He said people were holding on to the post of the building and everything, cried out, God, have mercy, and brought revival. Just talking. For we know, look at the verse, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, excuse me. I'm going to have to stop here. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed upon with the house which is from heaven. But you know what? You can have a little bit of heaven on this earth. Amen. In this body. Yep. You can have a little bit of heaven on earth. Yeah. Now, take your Bible, look at this. Look in 1 Corinthians. This is the scary part. You're talking about the fear of God. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's the scary part. And now God destroyed the temple because they didn't do right. They just, you know, it got to be ho-hum, you know, every day, you know, we got to go through the same old process and all that stuff. And God knew what they were thinking. God knew what they were going through. He knew there wasn't a realness to them anymore. You know, this church, I've been here 30-some years, and we've been through some high times and been through a lot of low times and been through a lot of high times. But there's some high times, but what happens is we get used to it. And we start saying, well, we've seen that before. We've done this before. We've done that before. And then we get to the place where you just get, well, you know, it's not as real to us anymore. I just don't want to preach without being real. I want to, you say, well, you preach anyway? I preach anyway. I've had to go in my office and get on my face and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm sorry, Lord, for preaching that I didn't feel it. I didn't have my heart in it. The Bible says this. It says, know ye not, verse 16, I'm going to have to stop. Like I said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. God wants to come in and fill that temple up. He wants to come in and fill it up. His glory. I've had times where I've run down the road just screaming and shouting and hollering, thanking God for his mercy. You know what? It would be ultimate for your whole family together, grandchildren, everybody, just worshiping God, just praising him. That'd be a service. That'd be a real service. I was down there watching Israel preach, and I was praying with him. We prayed that night, and the night before he was studying, and we were praying, and we prayed before he went in there, and I told him, you know, I was telling him this and telling him that to do this, and then Samson was telling him this, and I said, well, you got to do what you, and he did a great job. He preached on Joshua chapter 7, and he said, what happens if you miss your AI? Achan missed his AI, and the joy of AI, which they could have kept. And he was preaching on that. More, I'm sitting there in the back listening to him going, God, don't let us miss AI, but help us all do it together. The Bible says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, you know, you're saved in the New Testament. You're saved. You're permanent. I mean, it's a permanent indwelling. It's there. But why does the Bible tell you to be filled with the Spirit if you got the Spirit of God already? Well, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. But it's who has control. It's who has control. Who has the worship, you or the Spirit of God inside you? It says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God do what? Destroy. God destroyed that temple. They said, they thought, no way, God wouldn't do that. God, after all this we went through, Moses coming out of Egypt, and all that stuff, we built this temple and dedicated to God, and we seen God move. God wouldn't take away the temple now, our place of worship. God said, y'all make me sick. Y'all make me sick after all I did for you. Make me sick. You know, Revelation says that Laodicean church makes him sick. We don't have to be a Laodicean church. We are in Laodicea, but we don't have to be a Laodicean church. We can be a Philadelphian church where God opened doors and things are happening. That's what you, every Sunday you ought to be praying. Lord, let somebody new show up. Let God, something happen. Somebody get saved. God, move in our bus ministry. I mean, praying for that stuff. If everybody was on the same page, the glory of God would show up. It would show. Amen. Well, we stop right there. I ain't got time to go through all that. But Brother Ken, come on, take a prayer.